Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Borough of Roosevelt Council meeting, September 29th, 2020 at 7:06 p.m. Due to the coronavirus and the need for social distancing, this meeting will be held remotely and available to the public in a live feed. Adequate notice of this meeting, as required by Chapter 231 PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 6, 2020, which was posted on the bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office, on the bulletin board in the Roosevelt Post Office, and in the Borough Hall. The notice was published in the Times and the Asbury Park Press. Roll call.
Mr. Dermody?
Here.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Here.
Mr. Trammell?
Here.
Mr. Vroman?
Here.
And Mayor Malkin?
Here.
Okay, we have a quorum.
So the first thing we come to is the appointment of a council member to fill one of the vacant seats. So we have to have the motion to present the name. Mike, do you want to do that?
Yeah, I'd like to move to nominate Stephen Mocker, who is a Democrat, to fill the unexpired term seat of Steve Bowen.
I'll second that.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Do we do it that way, where we need a second? I think this is presented by the Roosevelt Democratic Committee.
Okay. Did you guys want to discuss the three names you submitted?
Well, we submitted three names, Steve Mocker, Jacqueline Carpenter, and Susan Schwartz. But the Democratic Committee recommends Steve Mocker to the position.
Steve has shown through his interest and his involvement that he would be, I think, a really good council person to fill this position. And that's one of the reasons why we nominated Steve. And he is a registered Democrat as of the time of the nomination. And I think he would be an excellent addition to the council.
He's very knowledgeable on utilities also. I like that.
Yeah, I think we're all in agreement about that. So do we actually, how does this work? I can't remember. Do we
have, you guys have to adopt a resolution appointing the individual whose name just actually escapes me. Forgive me, I'll have to learn his name very soon.
Steve Mocker.
Thank you. Steve, you'll have to adopt a resolution appointing him to the council. The timing of this was Mr. Bowen resigned on September 2nd. Democratic Committee submitted the names in advance of September 17th, although I'm sure the clerk could provide us with the exact date. And so this council has 15 days from then or until October 2nd to appoint one of those three people. Otherwise, the decision is that of the Democratic Committee. So unless you guys want to call a special meeting, you would do it now. And then the clerk and I would memorialize that if that's the council's pleasure.
Okay. Council people, would you like to make it official as of now, as of this meeting?
So moved.
Yeah.
So moved.
Agreed.
Aye.
Okay. But
we have to do a roll call vote for this.
So I'll do a roll call. Okay. I'll do a roll call. So I do have Mike Hamilton and Lou Esikoff as the first and second. And then Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Vroman?
Yes.
Okay.
Madam Clerk, I presume here in Roosevelt you have a form resolution for this? Or do you need me to draft a particular one for you?
I don't have one on hand right now.
Okay. I'll put it together for you and email it to you before the end of the meeting so that we can memorialize it.
Okay. Can I issue, is Steve on?
Yes.
Oh, great. Oh, Steve. Well, we can issue the oath then.
So I can administer the oath?
Yeah, he was just appointed to the council. So if he wants to join, this meeting, he's more than welcome to. If he wasn't planning on that tonight, he can join us next meeting. So I don't want to put him on the spot.
I know.
Is it okay, Steve, to be sworn in tonight?
Can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah.
I can.
Yeah, that's fine.
Good.
Cool. Okay.
Okay, so normally I can't see you, but you raise your hand.
Kathleen, I'll start for you. So we have
honor system.
So forgive me one last time. I got Steve. I wish he had his last name on his screen. Steve.
Macher.
M-A-C-H-E-R.
So, Mr. Macher, I'm Gregory Catt. I'm the borough attorney for the town. Do you consent to your oath being conducted remotely over this conference that's being conducted remotely due to COVID-19?
Yes.
Okay. And I would ask that you raise your right hand, and you may swear or affirm whatever is your pleasure, and the clerk will administer the oath with the attendee's consent.
Okay, Steve, I'm going to read portions of it, and you're going to repeat, you know, what I say. So it's I, Steve Macher. Do solemnly swear or affirm.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
And the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
That I will bear true faith.
That I will bear true faith.
And allegiance to the same.
And allegiance to the same.
And to the governments established.
And to the government established.
In the United States.
In the United States.
And in this state.
And this state.
Under the authority of the people.
Under the authority of the people.
And that I will faithfully.
And that I will faithfully.
Impartially.
Impartially.
And justly perform.
And justly perform
all the duties of the office,
all the duties of the office
of the Borough Council, Roosevelt Borough Council,
of the Roosevelt Borough Council,
according to the best of my ability,
according to the best of my ability.
Okay.
Welcome.
Congratulations.
Congratulations, Council.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Steve.
So, Steve, what's going to happen is I'm going to include you then on roll calls going forward tonight.
Okay.
Okay.
That's great. Thank you, Steve. We really appreciate this.
And I do have to get you to sign the oath. So I'll, when we're all done, I'm just going to need your email and then I can forward you the oath and you can sign it and then send it back.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, just a few things to report. I wanted to report that Timberwolf came into town last Thursday and Friday and collected most of, and finished up today, I believe, all of the residents' tree and branch removal. They have not yet completed storm removal. They haven't given us a date yet, but at some point in the near future, they'll be collecting all the storm debris. Also, we had a end of the summer pizza at picnic party with accompanying music and a drive-in movie shown on the wall of the school this past Saturday, which was nicely attended. We had, I believe, about 45 or 50 people who came, families. And I know that there was pizza, beverages, and it was a beautiful day. We were really lucky to have such a nice day.
And the movie was down, the screen was by the head at the amphitheater. Worked out very nicely. People sat at the amphitheater.
Oh, good. And the last thing I'd like to talk about is, as part of our correspondence, we have a letter of resignation from Ann Casahoon as the Environmental Commission Secretary. So I just want to take the time to say that Ann Casahoon was the Environmental Commission Secretary for about 30 years. She was just an absolute joy to work with. She was a dedicated, loyal secretary. She has, from the time that the Casahoons moved to Roosevelt, She's been involved in, you know, many facets of town. She was also the planning board secretary for years. And Anne did an excellent job and really enjoyed it. I think at this point, she just thought it was time to take a break. But she provided invaluable service. And she was just, she's just a pleasure to work with. And I think she did this with a great deal of trepidation. I think it was very sad for her to finally decide that it was time to pass it on to someone else. So I really want noted how grateful we are and how much appreciation we have for the job that Anne did for all those 30 years. That's a long time.
I would like to add something. I was chairman of, when we had a zoning board, when the planning board and the zoning board were separate, and I was chairman of the zoning board. I was really a green freshman at this. And without her, I'd have gone down the tube very quick.
Yeah.
Very quickly. She really bolstered me, and she's really a terrific lady. She's got a sense of balance that permeates everybody.
Yeah, I could go on for a long time about her. She's
just a lovely woman.
And on a final note, sadly, I just want to mention another death in town. But on September 18th, Shan Ellentuck passed away. And again, another really long-time resident. The Ellentucks moved here in the 50s. And Shan was a very special, unique person. In her years ago, when her children were small, she was on the Board of Education. And she was very involved in all of our local politics. And Shan had many talents, too many to name here. But we just want to express our sadness at her passing. Excuse me.
Yes.
I second that.
Yeah.
I spent time with her on the school board, and I tell you, she was a tough cookie.
Yeah. Smart and tough.
Smart and tough is right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we come to, I'm sorry, I don't know what's happening to my voice, public comment at 7:18, public comment on agenda items only. Michael?
Okay. Well, first of all, since it's the only...
Sorry. Name and address.
Michael Tickton, 37 North Valley Road. First of all, I just wanted to add to what Peggy said about the Anne Casson service. The Environmental Commission, of course, joins in expressing satisfaction all the great work she did for so many years and regret that she's leaving, but of course, understanding that the pressures of age and time, you know, she's entitled to some, to some relaxation as well. And we intend to honor her appropriately. And also, I just wanted to point out, you're going to be doing a first reading, so I just wanted to point out one thing that Ben Johnson pointed out to me that had been left out and could easily be fixed about on 12-6.7, it says the property owner is allowed 45 days to remove or abate the violation. I think that could be, since they may need for some flexibility for a variety of circumstances, if you say at least 45 days, that change could be made in the introduction.
Hmm. Yeah, I thought that we were going to just let the code enforcement officer use his discretionary
power. No, but if you have to say that, if you say at least 45 days, that will give discretion, right? But yeah, doesn't say that just, now.
I mean, I personally feel it shouldn't be too rigid. This is
right. It doesn't say that now. So if we could just add at least, that would do it, I believe.
Okay. Is everyone okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Any other comments?
Just repeat that, Mike. You're going to be...
Okay, in 12, what I said was in...
No, what it is. He's saying at least 45 days instead of 45 days.
Right, so it currently says 12.6.7, violation of penalties. Okay. It says that the providing said running bamboo owner 45 days to remove this or abate the same. And we're just saying add the word at least 45 days. So that gives the code official discretion when there's it's appropriate.
I'll do that, Kathleen, and I'll send that to you along with that other resolution. What I'll do is the ordinance that I sent you, I'll save it with parens that says revised in introduction. So you'll be able to tell the difference in the file. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, great.
Okay, good.
Any other comments from the public?
Small point to make. Ben Johnson, 36 Pine Drive.
There you go.
It's pretty minor, but on the portion of the ordinance that talks about the joining of the barrier, it says composite plastic or stainless steel strips. It's all right, but stainless steel is not the preferred thing used in the industry from what I can tell, and it's just, it might fail. So I would think the stronger ordinance would be not to include that, because why have something in there that may not work that well?
Is there a price difference?
Is there what?
Is there a price difference? Cost difference?
I don't know about that.
I think stainless steel is.
But the plastic is not your everyday plastic. Again, it's the high density, it's the HDP material. So it will last. There's no question about that. So, but there is some doubt from what I've read that the stainless steel will be as tough over time.
I don't have any objection.
But no. You have both of them in there, so I mean, it's,
well, I mean, it'll be
revise that portion. I mean, Mr. Johnson had that comment in the revisions I got from the EC, and so I put all of them in there: plastic, steel, basically, as long as it's containing it, we don't really care.
Right.
As long as it doesn't cause a resident a problem where they are. I don't know, maybe they don't even read the ordinance, so just go ahead and do something, but it might come back to haunt them to use the stainless steel is all I'm trying to say.
I think it makes sense to have the preferred materials in terms of strength and cost and availability in the ordinance in case somebody wants to look at it and say, well, what do I need to do to comply? They could say, oh, okay, well, I'll go to Home Depot and get the HDPE. And, you know, they can be well advised through the language in the ordinance. So I think it's a good suggestion.
Well, and as well as the available different options.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Well, I just want to be clear. The original ordinance said that you had to use steel. And so the EC commented that that might be too difficult, restrictive, might not even be the best material. So the ordinance was revised to include a number of different materials, I believe plastic. I think I even included a disclaimer that says, and other such materials as would properly secure it. So I kind of left it up to the homeowner to go find what's commercially available. I mean, I did this in Bradley Beach. I went down the Home Depot aisle. I mean, it just says bamboo on it. And it's all basically the same product made by different companies. So I kind of left it up to the homeowner to do the right thing. And the notion being that if it's not containing it, it's going to be self-evident because it's been growing outside the containment area. And then whatever strips are underground, whatever they were, steel, whatever they're made of, didn't work. So that was the notion and how it's drafted at this moment. Kind of left it up to the homeowner to go find what's commercially available because the EC raised a good point that it required just straight steel, the original version. So just for all the context and what have you.
Yeah. I think the homeowner should be given a choice, and it's true. It will be obvious to them whether the containment system is working or not. Okay.
I'm sorry, just maybe an academic point anyway, because it comes in, your standard barrier comes in 100-foot rolls. If you're doing any length less than that, you're not going to have anything that you need to join. It'll simply be continuous.
Okay. Is there anything else from the public? Anyone else have any comment from the public? Anything on the agenda? Okay, I will close the public portion at 7:26. Come to correspondence. The first one is a memo dated September 17th, 2020, from the Roosevelt Democratic Committee presenting nominees to fill a vacancy on the Roosevelt Borough Council. So that's kind of redundant since we all know that we did that already. Then we have an affidavit of a tax bill mailing from the tax collector dated September 18th, 2020. And a letter of resignation dated September 22nd, 2020 from the Environmental Commission Secretary Ann Casahoon, who, as we all pointed out, is retiring after 30 years. I have approval of minutes, the regular meeting minutes from September 14th, 2020. Do I have a motion?
You do.
Second.
Okay. Second. Okay. Any discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Dermody?
Sorry, I believe I missed that meeting, Kathleen. Is that correct?
Yes, you did.
Okay, so I'll abstain.
Thank you. Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Masher?
Mocker.
Mocker, sorry.
Yes.
Thank you.
Wait, wouldn't Mr. Mocker be
an abstain? Actually, yeah. You should abstain since you weren't at the last.
Abstain, right?
Okay, I abstain.
Thank you. Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Roman?
Yes.
Okay.
Minutes are approved. Come to the first reading of Ordinance 20-11, an ordinance augmenting Chapter 12, property maintenance of the Borough Code to include new Section 12-6, bamboo, to regulate running bamboo within the limits of the borough. I'll say that afterwards. Okay, so do I have a motion?
You have.
Okay, a second?
I'll second.
Discussion?
The point that Ben Johnson was making before is that 12-6.3b and 2 and small b, each portion of the barrier shall be joined together by use of sufficient composite plastic or stainless steel strips or clamps. Is that what he was referring to, Ben, or anyone?
Yes, but I think what we've decided is to, Greg included a number of materials in the ordinance. So the resident has a choice of which materials they'd like to select, and hopefully.
Gotcha. But that's the section that he was talking about, I believe.
I believe so.
Okay.
Okay. Do I have a motion? I mean, could I have a roll call, Kathleen?
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker? Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Roman?
Yes.
Okay, the public hearing is going to be held on October 13, 2020 at 7 p.m. at the Borough of Roosevelt, 33 North Rochdale Avenue, Roosevelt, New Jersey, 08555.
And I'd like to remind everyone that once again, October 13th is a Tuesday because the 12th is Columbus Day. So there won't be that Monday night. All right, come to resolutions. Do I have a motion for 20-88, payment of bills?
I'll make that motion.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? Roll call?
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Roman?
Yes.
2088 passes. Come to Resolution 20-89, Resolution appointing Planning Board and Environmental Commission Secretary. I have hired a woman named Robin Tilliu. I met with her spent quite some time. She's an experienced planning board secretary. She is currently the planning board secretary for East Windsor, full time, 5 days a week, full day. And she's also willing to become our environmental commission, which was really good timing since it came, you know, the position became available around the same time that I met Robin for planning board. And so she's quite experienced, not with environmental. She'll have to, Anne has graciously offered to catch Robin up with, you know, bring her up to snuff with everything. But she is quite experienced with the planning board, and she's a lovely woman who's willing to start. She's able to start immediately. So her
And how do you spell her last name?
I was just going to say, so her name is Robin, R-O-B-I-N, Tillou, T-I-L-L-O-U.
Okay. All right.
A motion appointing her planning board and environmental commission secretary.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Essicor?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
Mr. Terrell?
Yes.
And Mr. Vroman?
Yes.
Great. Resolution 20-90, resolution amending resolution 20-02, establishing council committees for the year 2020. And what this is we need to fill the positions that on the different committees that Steve Bowen was on or in charge. So Steve Bowen was Public Works Chair, and then he was also on, I believe, Environmental, Health, and Safety. What was the
And third? Utilities.
And utilities. So, Steve Mocker, would you be willing to plug in those spots?
Yes.
I mean, we won't leave you hanging. You'll have plenty of help. We won't just throw you to the lions.
Okay, because I don't know what's involved with, you know.
Yeah, of course not.
Positions, obviously.
Right. No, we won't do that to you.
But try making the wrong move and find out what happens.
So that's okay, Steve?
Yes.
Okay, so do I have a motion putting Steve Mocker as chair of Public Works and on the Environmental, Health, and Safety and Utility Committees?
You do.
I move that.
There you go. Joe's a second.
Okay, I'm sorry. Was Lou first?
Yes.
And second was Chad or Joe?
Joe. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Listen, that was pretty good, Joe. You woke up.
A little bit, yeah.
Okay, roll call.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Essicor?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes, I abstain.
That's a cop out.
Mel?
Mel? Is that me?
Yes.
Okay, I'm not used to the new order, so yes, I agree.
And Mr. Vroman?
Yes.
Yes, you're now going to follow Mr. Mocker, so remember that, Joe. Yeah.
And Mr. Vroman is still always last.
Yep.
You should take the V away, then you won't be last every time. Yeah. Okay, Resolution 20-91, a resolution authorizing Roberts Engineering Group, LLC, to submit an application for the Transportation Alternatives Set-Aside Grant Program the improvements to the Roosevelt Amphitheater. Now, so I'd like to say that there was some question about how much this grant could possibly, you know, the monetary amount, because would it be worth it to spend $5,000 for Carmella to begin this process when we don't know, you know, maybe the grant's $2,000 or $6,000. But I did have a long conversation with Ms. Roberts, and it turns out that the amount of the grant, which is available, it's not being affected by COVID-19 or any of our current economic problems, the grant is available, and the grant ranges from $150,000 to $1 million.
Yeah, it's a good one.
That's a good one. I was thinking we could get waterfalls all around the, if we get the $1 million grant, you know, we could have waterfalls around the amphitheater and lights, colored lights. But no, it is a sizable grant. So in my opinion, it's worth the $5,000 to spend for Carmela to fill out the application, considering what a sizable grant this is.
Well, if we get the money, all joking aside, it does, that area needs more lighting.
Yes, it does. Lighting and brickwork and...
Yeah, but the lighting, for you're doing night, if you're having night meetings there.
Right.
I haven't been there in a little while, but I can remember it could be treacherous.
Yeah. Yeah.
We had to put up extra lighting just when the movie was done so people could see their way out. So
yeah, it could be dangerous.
And I believe the $5,000 fee for Carmela was up to $5,000, so that would be fine.
Yeah. Did you have a motion?
You have.
Second?
Yeah.
Roll call.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Essipar?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Vroman?
Yes.
Okay. Resolution 20-92, resolution authorizing an extension of the grace period for third quarter 2020 tax payments.
I'll move that.
Yeah. Second?
Second.
Roll call.
Okay. If you just want to let them know that it's been extended to October 16, 2020, that's the third quarter.
October what, Kathleen?
October 16, 2020.
16?
Yeah, people should have got that notice. Taxpayers should have got that notice. And it should say the date on it.
Yeah.
And then that, they also have to know that right around the corner, November 1st, is the fourth quarter.
May as well write two checks and put it in the mail.
Yeah.
Okay, so roll call is Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Essipar?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Vroman?
Yes.
Come to reports of committee chairs. Do you have a report for us, Steve, as chair of Public Works?
No.
Mike, since you had taken it over, is there anything that we need to know?
Nothing major. I've been in contact with Greg Defoe, who's our main Public Works person. And it's really convenient for me since he lives right next door to me. And basically, he's done a lot of work in around town and making sure that all the branch pickup went well. And also to ensure that the trail, the second part of the trail between, I guess it's, where they're going to have the art walk.
Right, around Tamara, I think.
Yeah, that was overgrown.
Yeah.
A lot, with a lot of weeds and all. And I think he followed up with Kyle, who has our contract for public grounds maintenance, to make sure that that's all cleaned up. And that's part of the contract to clean up those areas. So that should be cleaned up by this weekend. So I think things are moving ahead. And just to let Steve Mocker know, you don't have to do a lot with our employees. They know what to do, and they do a good job. And it's basically just finding out from them if they have any needs or if there's anything they need to communicate to us through the council. But basically, our employees, you know, it's our job just to hire good employees and let them do their job.
Thanks, Mike.
I read somewhere, and it always stuck with me, that it's not our job to run the town, just to ensure that it's well run.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you do that by hiring competent people.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree with you more.
Councilmember Esikoff, administration.
What Michael just said, hire good people and get out of the way.
And we have the best, yeah.
We have the best indeed.
We're so lucky.
We're very fortunate. We have a good, good crew. Yeah. On top of everything, they're knowledgeable. They communicate very well. I have the good fortune of speaking to Anna every day. I call to find out if there's anything happening and if she needs any help or whatever. And it's just a pleasure. It really is.
It is. We're between Anna and Kathleen, Lori and Kim. We're just, and our public works department, we're incredibly, lucky.
We're really very fortunate.
Yeah. Okay, Councilmember Dermody, community development, code enforcement.
Hello?
I'm not seeing him on.
Who?
Did we lose him? Luke?
I think you lost it.
Yeah, I think he dropped off.
He's there.
He lost Luke.
He lost his voice thing.
Oh. All right, well, we can come back to him if he comes back on.
Okay.
Okay. Councilmember Hamilton, finance.
Just a few items, and it goes along with the theme of having very competent professionals working for us. I want to give compliments to Anna DeBevick, who filed a claim for storm damage from the June 3rd storm that we had that knocked out some of our electrical components at the sewer treatment plant. And she filed a claim with our insurance carrier, and we got a settlement of a little over $500 to help defray the cost of those repairs. And that's something that you can overlook. You know, you just kind of go and make the repairs and figure it's the storm, but she's on top of it and she knows enough to file a claim on that. And so we'll be getting some of those funds recouped. Also, I think there was something on the agenda, but the state was going to divert Clean Communities money to support some other programs. And I think the League of Municipalities intervened and there was a lot of pressure because a lot of towns know that that's a good program. We use it for a cleanup, you know, when we have our annual cleanup, and we use it to help out organizations that help us clean and keep the community clean. And the state provides the funding for that. They were going to divert it. They decided against that. So the state is leaving that clean community funding intact. And we were just notified of that, I think, on the 22nd. So I think that that's really good news. For a small town like us, every little bit matters, and we really care about how the community looks, and I think it looks great. So I'm glad that that money was still restored. And I hope that we can have a clean communities pick up and continue doing that in the future.
Well, we have a coordinator, and she's been in contact with our former coordinator. So I think that as soon as it's permissible, she intends to definitely, whenever we think it's safe, start that again.
Yeah. And we did discuss the NJDOT grant application that Carmella we'll be working on, because we voted on that. And there is the possibility of getting a significant amount of funds for that, for improvements to the amphitheater. And Councilman Trammell and myself were there for a large amount of time on Saturday night for that movie that we did, The Princess Bride. It is conceivable that we could get funds for this program, and the amphitheater could be a real wonderful resource. I think it's underused, and if it was refurbished and there was good lighting, and I know Joe and I have some ideas about things that could be done to enhance it and make it really so that we can use it for all kinds of outdoor events. And I think especially during this time of a pandemic, having outdoor events are safer to a certain extent because they provide that distancing and the fact that you're outside and not inside when you're having a venue. It makes a lot of sense. Also, I think if we could work with Carmela on it, some recognition that Jonathan Sean, who was the sculptor who designed and put the monument to Roosevelt there, and also I think Bert Ballantyne had a lot to do with the design of the amphitheater as well, and with the passing of Shan and Johnny and all, it makes sense to me to put that maybe in a grant application, to put something about the historic significance of that area and how it would be really used and would be a real asset to the community.
Oh, I was absolutely sure that Carmela would not fail to mention that, because that's part of why we're Roosevelt. I mean, that's what makes us, part of our history.
It's a great space. And I know Joe will chime in on this. It just felt great, really, being there and having the amphitheater that kind of prescribes the area. There's beautiful access to all the school grounds there. And part of the grant would be for providing kind of walkways and lighting perhaps along the walkways. And it was great to see the kids watching a movie and families watching this movie. And also then the kids could run to the play yard in the school and play. And it was so nice to see them.
Well, that's traditionally how every outdoor event in Roosevelt was held. Yeah. The people were all gathered at the amphitheater, and then the kids could run off in different directions as they chose, towards the playground or the school grounds or the woods. But I know that Lou would know this, of course, even better. When I moved to town, there was a little pond by the amphitheater. Yes. It was well lit. There were flowers planted all around. It was just lovely. And somehow over the years, it's been allowed to sort of become dilapidated and fray. And
we also didn't use it very much either. I think one of the reasons, the seating can be a little bit, if it's for 2 hours of sitting or an hour and a half of sitting on that concrete and brick is not pleasant. People were bringing their cushions or whatever.
Yeah.
I think that if we get enough money, we could look into enhancing the seating area a little bit, make it more people friendly, more tushy friendly.
Okay, well, let's move on from that. Obviously, if we receive, hopefully, if we receive money from that grant, that then we can really go into discussions about
we could also put up a plaque for John and what's her name? Shan.
And that's the last item that I had under finance. I was glad to see us approve the grant application process with Carmela. She's a great grant writer. We've had a lot of success with that. So I think it's a worthwhile investment, up to $5,000 to yield between $150,000 to $1 million for a grant. I think it's worth it.
Yeah, my eyes popped when she gave me the amount. That's when I was envisioning waterfalls and beautiful lighting.
Michael Hamilton and I were a little skeptical about the $5,000. And when we both found out that it goes to $1 million.
Right.
It's just like a poker game. And you look in the pot and you have to figure out whether or not you want to gamble on your hand and if it's worth it. If there's enough money in the pot, then it's worth the bet. So
right. It's
worth it.
Yeah.
All right. Councilmember Trammell, utilities?
Nothing here. Everything is moving right along. Things are working. Yep.
How are we doing with that generator?
That's something else. I'm waiting. We should be having some estimates come in for replacing or repairing it. I'll have to talk to Anna about that again. That's the generator at Burr Hall, not the one at the water plant.
No,
water
plant. Generator at Burr Hall.
Yeah.
We're coming to wintertime. I don't know what kind of a winter you're going to have with all of the climate change. God knows, but I don't think anybody knows. But we have to have a place for people who cannot take care of themselves.
Yeah, we need a command center and a shelter. Right.
We need a place for somebody, for people to hang out.
No, I think Anna's waiting for quotes.
We've had some quotes, but we haven't.
We have three of them.
Do we have three?
We had three, I think.
Okay.
Oh, at least two, I know. I thought three, one of them is much too expensive, and they want travel time and all kinds of other things.
Yeah.
And for when they come in to repair it, and that's not fair. So that's not a good contract. But we have one local one, I think, that is.
Yeah, I think there was one Anna was leaning toward. But I'll talk to her tomorrow about it. I know we definitely want to get this on the going, because you're right, winter's coming, and who knows at this point.
There's a time factor here, you know.
Yeah.
I think we ought to have something on the agenda by the next meeting to really move on this, because winter is coming, storms are coming.
And not only that, you know, that generator goes on gas, natural gas, and all the piping is in there. It's not like we have to reinvent the wheel here. It's there. It's just a matter of getting one on and just hooking it up. That's it.
I think we have to keep in mind that it should be an industrial generator as opposed to a consumer generator. So
that's for sure, because that's big. You need something big enough. It's got to be big enough, and it's got to be sturdy enough. And it's got to be, but again, it's
and it also has to be well protected, because the one that we had really was inadequately protected from all the animals that got in there and chewed away the wires. Right. The mice moved in because it was nice and warm in there, you know, it had a heating element.
Yeah.
And so they were nice and cozy. They chewed on the wires.
Yeah, it was like a little zoo in there.
Snakes in there. So I think we have to spend a little bit of time and make sure that we have it protected. It's a big investment.
Snakes.
Also, the one at the water plant has usually got snakes. Not the water plant, but the sewer plant usually has snakes in it too. So we should try to protect all of these generators.
Well, the snakes are probably good for taking it to the Burrow Hall generator to get rid of the mice.
Well, that's where we put the snakes there.
Yeah.
The mice.
Yeah.
We could just run a pipe from one to the other and let them shimmy down the pipe.
I think the kind of snakes we have is the mice will probably get them.
Well, anyway, I'll definitely check with Anna tomorrow, see where we are with that.
Okay.
Okay, Councilmember Vroman, Environmental Health and Safety?
Nothing to report at this point in time.
Okay. Does anyone have any old business they would like to discuss? Seeing none, the only thing I have for new business is the date for bulk pickup, otherwise known as Big Trash Day, which is October 19th, 2020. And everyone will be getting, I don't think we got it yet, you know, a flyer specifying what's permissible for to put out and what isn't. But it is on the 19th.
I think there was something in the bulletin, wasn't there?
Yeah, I mean, we always put things in, but I'm sure another one will go out.
Yes, and the flyer did go out. It's posted up here.
Yeah, I thought so. I thought I saw it. Okay, I haven't gotten my mail lately. Any other new business from anyone?
I just wanted to discuss about the generator, because I texted Anna. She said the quotes were over the bid threshold, so you have to go out to bid.
Yeah,
that I know.
Okay, well, we have to do that immediately. So.
Okay.
Well, there's other information we need to. I'd like to know if there's any warranty on any part of it, whether it's on the equipment or the installation, because we've had problems with generators consistently. And it'd be nice if we're going to spend...
the state contract, too. Do you know if any...
I don't know. We'll have to check that. I guess
the latest company that we've had, Power Equipment Company, have been very lax with their maintenance and their responsibilities to keep them running. That's the most problems that we've had is with this last company.
Okay. Well, you know, this generator is old and tired. It's never been.
I don't know. 20 years is not old for a generator.
Yeah, it's not been protected from the elements. And the mice and the snakes.
Yeah, but that was most of the problems, and the maintenance was a problem with this last go round.
So if we can get a good one, you know, if we don't just go. Well,
let's get some bids in, and then we'll have to get this stuff.
And scrutinize very carefully the maintenance contract. And if we cover it up with something to prevent the mice and the elements to get to it, we will get another 30 years out of another one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what I think.
Yeah, the Borough Hall generator's only got 300 miles or 300 hours on it, which is
left
really
on it, right?
Yeah,
right.
Nothing.
Right.
So.
Yeah, but it's a case of pay me now, pay me later.
Exactly.
Well.
Okay. Any other new business?
Motion to adjourn.
No, we come to public comment on anything at all. I'll open public comment at 7:58 p.m. Is there anyone from the public who would like to comment on anything? Not necessarily the agenda.
I would.
Mike?
Thank you. Michael Tickton again. Okay, first of all, Could somebody please, if Kathleen or somebody will email me the information with the full name and contact information about Robin.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, make sure we get that. Because actually the appointments have to be made by the boards. You know, each board elects its secretary. So obviously we'd appoint the same person, but you know, just we have to have the information. I'd want to be able to talk with her.
Sure.
So just be in touch. And then on the... monument work, I just want to make sure that whatever Carmela submits, that she mentions the fact that this was the site of Eleanor Roosevelt's last public appearance.
And we had photographs to back it up, which we do, of course. Yeah.
But then it was not just that she appeared there, but it was actually the last public appearance she ever made because she got sick the next month and died that November.
Yeah, I was going to ask Carmela to, I'm not exactly sure how the process works, but I wanted to ask her if she could include photographs. And
yeah, that's important.
Documentation. Right. Sure.
I want to add one thing to that, Michael, if I may. When I was there, when she came, and you know, she walked down that long walkway from the amphitheater to Rochdale Avenue, and people on both sides stood and, you know, and she walked. That woman did not miss one person's eyes. She caught everyone's eyes as she went along. It was really phenomenal.
That makes me want to cry.
She was one kind of lady.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, that actually brings tears to my eyes.
It's true. I was there. I saw it with my own eyes.
You're lucky, Lou.
Yep. Yep.
Would be nice to have a laser etched photograph of her in that area at the photograph that Mike Victor was talking about.
Oh, we have many. Yeah, we have many.
But you have the laser.
So it stays outside and it's no problem and it's near her monument,
her husband's monument, right?
I want to walk through one day with Carmela and Bert, hopefully, and Mike and a few other folks, just to get a larger sense of what this could be. It is a beautiful area. It was like magic that night with the movie. It was everybody there left with a smile on their faces. It was what I understand Roosevelt to be. So it was nice.
Years ago, when Roosevelt School went to eighth grade, the graduation was held there and the entire town would turn out for graduation.
That's right.
Whether or not, right, Lou, whether or not you had children graduating from the school, graduating that year, no children at all, the whole town would turn out And then there was a townwide celebration. Everyone would be at the amphitheater, and then everyone would go into the school afterwards for dancing and refreshments. And then after that, we would break up into some smaller parties. But that was the tradition for more years than I can count.
And every child who was graduating from eighth grade would have to go up to the podium with a speech to the community and address the community on what it meant
to be Roosevelt,
to go to this school and to be.
Well, they still do that, Mike. I mean, that is still how every student at this at graduation, even though it only, well, until last year went to sixth grade, now fifth, but that's still the tradition. Every student makes a speech about what the town and the school means to them.
And I'll tell you something else, another cute, nice thing. If you were, if a parent wanted to give the child the diploma, we always allowed it. Rather than just handed it by the principal or the board president or whoever. If a parent called up and said, listen, I have a special relationship with my child, my children, I would like to hand them, I'd like a picture of me handing them their diploma. There was no hesitation. It was done. And it was small. The small classes, but listen, this was a town. That's how the town lived.
I also would like to remind everyone that the Morvan exhibit about Roosevelt will be end. Originally, it was supposed to end May 10th, and then because of the virus, it was really prolonged. But it will be ending, I believe, January 24th. So for anyone who hasn't seen it, it's just the most beautiful exhibit. I was there again last week with my son, and who was born and raised here, and he was completely overwhelmed and overcome by it.
Where is this?
At Morvan. At Morvan, at the museum, the Princeton Museum.
Oh, Morvan.
Used to be the governor's house.
Yeah.
And so you do there's 3 more months, right? October, November, almost 4 months left for people to take advantage to see the exhibit. It's no matter how much you think you know about Roosevelt or remember, or if you're a newcomer, seeing that exhibit is just overwhelming. The history here and the sense of community and how important we are. We forget that Roosevelt is well known in history circles and art circles and really
architecture.
Yep, in so many ways, right? Louis Kahn is mentioned and Kastner. So I urge people, if you haven't seen it or if you want to see it one more time, it'll be there till January 24th. Mm-hmm. Okay, is there
just
any
there was just one other thing I want you to say.
Okay.
Just to be sure, I hope we are sure that we have $150,000 worth of work to do there, because if there's a minimum amount for the grant, we got to be able to justify at least $150,000 worth of work. So hopefully that can be done.
Well, I'm sure Carnella must realize there is.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Right. But we have to be able to justify it. Okay.
And all you have to do is get a quote for pavers, and there you go.
Yeah, exactly. What's that guy's name? Advertises his papers every 5 minutes.
Right.
Forget his name. I don't know how I forget, because it's anytime you turn on the television, there he is.
Who's that?
I don't know. He and his family, they have a paver company.
Oh, yes.
Right. Everyone's seen that guy.
Yes, the chump in the pool.
Yeah.
Grandpa.
Right.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. Anything else from the public? All right, I close the public portion at 8.05 p.m. Counselor, do we need a closed session?
No, Mayor, not at this time. The borough has only one pending litigation. That's Ellen Tuck versus Roosevelt, which is still pending decision, as I've mentioned for months now. But the judge will eventually
decide. How many months? About 36 months?
That should be 7.5. But that's where we're at the moment.
Greg, that sounds ridiculous that something like this drags along this long.
I mean, so two things. One, the longer it drags out, the less likely the requester is going to win the lawsuit, because if it was a meritorious lawsuit by the requester, they'd be ordering the turnover of all kinds of stuff from us. So obviously the judge isn't in a hurry to right any wrong that's being alleged, and we're the defendant. So that's a good thing. Two, I mean, look, I do this every day. The courts are closed. We're on video conference in some counties. Other counties are not. There's all kinds of municipal court and criminal stuff going on. And this case is before the assignment judge, who's responsible for basically all of that. If we had like one of the underling civil judges who was in charge of this case, then it'd probably be over already. As you saw, the other one continued on like nothing was going on. But the assignment judge is in charge of our case because she's in charge of all OPR matters at the Monmouth County. And because she's the assignment judge, she has a lot of other stuff going on right now. And I'd imagine that, I mean, the fact that our case isn't emergent for her is a great thing from our perspective in terms of the anticipated result. But when that happens, I don't know. But that should explain to you why that's going on. The other one went in the ordinary course because there was just a regular judge on it. But this is an OPR case, so the assignment judge gets it, and the assignment judge runs all the other judges, and all the other judges are trying to figure out how to try people who are sitting in jail without bail right now, not OPR requests, unless they're an emergency. And if ours is an emergency, then that's good for us in general as the town. So I hope that makes you feel a little bit better about it, although I'd like to know whether I won or lost 7.5 months later. But that's just for me personally. Overall for the town, I don't think it's a bad thing. So
okay. You say 7.5 months, Greg, but from the inception, isn't it almost 2 years?
Oh, it's almost 3 years.
Oh, okay. Right. Yeah.
It's 7.5 months since the case.
Right?
As you recall, I filed a motion for so we waited a few months after this was all argued back in November of 2019. And then I filed a motion to try to hasten the end of the lawsuit. And right before COVID-19, the judge said, I'm working on the decision. You know, please withdraw your motion so I can do it on my schedule as a courtesy to me as the judge. And so I did that. And then, you know, then COVID hit, and the assignment judge, I think, has a lot. And I know she has a lot of other things going on because they're trying to figure out. There's people sitting in jail right now charged with crimes that haven't made bail that are entitled to a speedy trial under the Constitution. And they don't have juries, and they're entitled to a jury trial under the Constitution. And they're sitting in jail for an undetermined amount of time, the whole time now, without a trial. So that is the first order of business of the court. And I know that that's what they're doing almost exclusively at this moment.
And that is more
litigator, and I don't really have anything going on other than case management conferences and settled cases.
And keeping people in jail is expensive.
And unconstitutional. So
forget that, it's expensive.
So that's the primary concern of the judiciary at this point. I can tell you it's not civil matters, and it's not matters that are, unless they're of a significant public interest, which the fact that ours is not, is a good thing for us in an OPR case. So
I have a question. What's going on at the swimming pool? How's this gentleman doing? Because the last I heard that he was converting the little building there to live in. It was a convoluted, well, listen a minute. From what I heard, now this is take it as a rumor or however you want. I'm repeating it. It's not something that I observed, but I was told. He cannot build anything on there for 2 years because he can't get rid of his house for 2 years since he bought this property. So but he can't build something because he can't. So he's converting that building to live in. And I'm a little.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a council matter, though. That would be.
Well, I'm a little skeptical about the.
So my involvement, I'll say my involvement with that matter ended when I got the check for you from the prior owner. I'm not sure the construction official and zoning officer assuredly know whatever improvements are.
Well, I would like to think they're watching the store.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if he's renovating these permits from the minimum, the construction office. So the question's better addressed to them.
Yeah, no, I understand. I just brought it up as a matter of discussion. Yeah. If anybody knew anything that I did. That we other of us didn't know.
Well, you can certainly ask the code enforcement officer, Lou.
Okay.
Or I can ask him.
Yeah, somebody should talk to him.
I have to be I'm talking to him tomorrow, so I can bring that up.
You can take a ride and take a look at it, see what he's doing.
Yeah.
There's a sign up there that says private property now, by the way.
So. Does it?
Yep.
Oh, that takes care of that.
I'll talk to the code enforcement officer. I have to talk to him anyway tomorrow. So, okay. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Yes.
Let me just remind everyone once again, our next meeting is October 13th, a Tuesday.
All right. Motion to adjourn.
All right, so that was Lou and Joe. All in favor?
Aye.
All right, time out. I have
8:11.
8:11. Okay, we'll go with yours.
Be around the campus, guys.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. Bye.